Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros is paved in Spanish clay this week, as we are a month away from reaching the Terre Battue of Paris. It was a Queens of Clay showdown in Madrid as the 2019 and 2020 Roland Garros champions met for a spot in the quarterfinals. And what should we expect from Daniil Medvedev on the clay this spring? And what does he expect from himself?
Of course, when I come to the tournament, the main goal is to win it.
So what's trending and who's posting? We're checking the hashtags and handles from all the tennis platforms. Incoming! TC Live starts right now.
Another wonderful day of tennis in the books from La Caja Mágica. Can't get it out right. Either way, I'm trying my best, and that's what's important here on TC Live. We've got a great show ahead after another great day of tennis in Madrid. Queen of Clay showdown, Daniil Medvedev setting some goals for the clay court season himself, and revisiting an unforgettable match, Federer versus Nadal. There are, dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds at this point, to choose from between those two. But we welcome you to our Santa Monica studios. Noah Eagle, Hall of Famer Jim Courier, another Hall of Famer, and Andy Roddick joining us as well. And Andy, I know that you've got some fantastic memories over in Madrid. Am I right?
Yeah, I did, Noah. Because I think that stadium looks exactly like the inside of a Chipotle, I had Chipotle for lunch. I was ready for the tennis. Go time.
Black or pinto beans?
I'm definitely going black with the cauliflower roast.
Okay.
Yeah, changing it up. But we didn't change up the suits. Nice gray on gray.
Yeah.
Feeling good. Andy's wearing his suit, customary suit, the T-shirt and hat. So let's get down to business, shall we?
Yeah, we might as well, because we've got a lot to go through, which includes a fantastic matchup on the women's side on the red clay. The last two Roland Garros champions, Ash Barty and Iga Swiatek. Barty winning her first and only Grand Slam in 2019 at Roland Garros. Iga Swiatek following up right after the pandemic at Roland Garros last year. So, first head-to-head in their careers in what could be a long-standing rivalry, Jim. And this one, the world number one, played like it.
Yes, she did. Swiatek had the early break. She was pounding the ground strokes. That's the way she got that Roland Garros title in 2020. The double faults, they did become a factor here. There's no doubt. She had three in one game, not able to really find the floor with it. And then the slice backhand of Barty started to really impact things. Here's set point. It's, again, Barty just using all of her variation throughout this match to really wrestle control of the big hitting pole. Because, listen, if they're just going to go toe-to-toe for power, Swiatek's going to out-hit her, but here's the slice. It just disrupts things, puts you in an awkward position. The forehand pass there on break point would set up this. She gets the double match point, draws the error, and this was a delightful matchup. I mean, we're going to see a lot more of these two, who will both be the defending champion when they play at Roland Garros, because Barty didn't come to defend that title.
Yeah, that's always fun. I always love when you've got the double defending champs. And as you mentioned, as Ash Barty after the match mentioned, that is going to be a rivalry for a long time. Two young players that are trying to enter the prime of their career and playing some outstanding tennis. Andy, 14th straight win on clay for Ash Barty, a tour leading 23rd victory so far this season. A lot of people trying to say maybe Naomi Osaka should be number one in the world, but Ash Barty just keeps winning.
Yeah, a lot of people like me, I was like a parrot with that narrative during Miami. And Ash Barty's doing her best to make me look as dumb as possible. Not tough, but she's in complete control of her game, especially taking off all of last year. I thought it would take some time to kind of get into it. I remember she was down early. I think it was a second round match in Miami. Things could have gone very differently. She's focused. She knows she's not going home for a long, long time. She's in the zone right now. Even when Swiatek was winning points, she was having to come up with big backhand down the line winners. Ash Barty was putting quality points together even when she wasn't winning them. And there's some mental scar tissue that comes along with that, knowing I have to play this well and execute this well just to win points, much less games, much less sets. a match, so on and so forth. So I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing with Ash Barty. She seems to be in control of all parts of her game right now.
Yeah, Andy, she saved that match point in Miami in her opening match. And from there, she's really just found that winning formula. And she has so many options on how to problem solve out there. And that differentiates her from so many of her peers. Now, I'm not saying that if she and Naomi Osaka were to play on a hard court, that I wouldn't think that Naomi would beat her handily. The way that Naomi played in Australia, it's hard to bet against that. But if you have a dip at all in your game, Ash Barty is there to get you, and she doesn't seem to beat herself, Noah. It's really impressive.
Certainly the favorite on any clay court surface as we go forward towards Roland Garros, less than a month away, as she will look to defend her 2019 title. Speaking of champions, three-time champ in Madrid, that's Petra Kvitova. This is the winner who will face Ash Barty in the next round, and Andy, Kvitova really looked strong as she found her way through it.
She looked great, and not an easy draw against Kudermetova, who won in Charleston. I like that serve and volley early in the highlight there. I like to see her mixing it up, and this was an intense match. I mean, there was a lot of kind of, I don't know if there's any history between these two, but there's a light right there on cue. There's a lot of yelling in this match, but Kvitova looked really solid. She looked really happy to be out there, really happy to be competing, and she does that more than anyone on tour, where you're just flat-footed because she hits such a pure ball. It's a winner right off the racket. And she really had to grind through this one. This is the kind of match that will serve her well to get into the clay court season. You see the intensity that she's playing with there. You know, she has her work cut out for her next round against Ash Barty. But I like to see the intensity from Kvitova. Not her favorite surface, but still out there competing and putting W's up on the board.
Yeah, that's my same reaction when I hear Chipotle's out of chicken. Looks like both Kvitova and Barty got their double protein today as half of our quarterfinals are set. Kvitova into her sixth career quarterfinal at Madrid in a fantastic matchup with the world number one Badosa, and benches also set up. We'll see Jesse Pegula tomorrow taking on Aryna Sabalenka as we move over to the men's side. Maybe the hottest player on tour, Aslan Karatsev, taking on Hugo Humbert. Andy, Karatsev, I don't know what he does to train his calves, but it's working for him.
Yeah, and also just like hitting one-handed backhand winners for whatever reason. Like, I'll show you what else I can do in 2021 here. But I've never seen just a meteoric rise from someone, not just one good tournament in Australia, but following it up. And there was a great shot of those calves right there. They're absolutely glorious. But when he has time, he kind of holds off that forehand, can hit it either way, kind of has that late commitment. It's tough to really guess. Right here, holds it, and then pulls it inside in. That seems to be his favorite shot, but it's got to be tough to defend because he holds that to the last possible second, but is still able to create ridiculous amounts of power. You know, I couldn't be more impressed. In Australia, you're thinking, okay, is this just a great result? You know, will we see more of this guy? We're seeing a lot more of this guy. He's winning matches every single week. Super impressive.
And a tough matchup coming up with Diego Schwartzman for Karatsev. Moving on, Fabio Fognini is still within the top 30 in the world, 33 years old, and taking on Carlos Taberna earlier today, Jim.
It's been an uneven season for Fognini. In the last tournament he played in Barcelona, he was defaulted in the opening match for abusing the chair umpire. Here in this match, he had to be seen by the trainer. Toughed out the first set. Taberna didn't go away, though. He played some solid tennis himself to send it into a third set, but Fognini found his form when he needed to and finds his way into the second round and maybe just stabilizes a little bit, get that bad taste of Barcelona out of his mouth with this one.
So Fognini eventually gets through in that third set. As we saw, he had to be seen in the second, but even at 33 years old, the perseverance is certainly still there from the Italian.
And the talent, too, no?
Without a doubt. So Fognini is through, and that sets up a nice all-Italian matchup that we will see here on Tennis Channel on Tuesday. Fognini against Berrettini. Andy, that's a lot of vowels, but it's also a lot of game.
Yeah, I mean, and these matchups are always fascinating when there's kind of like a generational battle kind of inter-country. I just missed Jim at the end of his career, but I always got up to play Pete and Andre. You know, I wanted to play the guys from the same country, so it'll be interesting. You know, Fognini's going, wait a minute, I'm still the alpha. I've been here longer. Berrettini's going, no, sir, that's not the way it is. So those matchups are always exciting.
Can we get like a Rocky Balboa, the sixth movie of Jim versus Andy Roddick somehow in the CGI world?
No one wants to see that. No, okay. Not even you.
Oh, no, I do want to see it. Maybe it's coming up.
Apparently, we just need to get you guys in the room with Karatsev's calves and we'll be all good.
I just want to know his routine. That's it.
Okay.
If you have any answers, get it to me by the end of the show. Speaking of, coming up on TC Live, still a lot to go through. We'll hear from Danny and Prakash in Madrid. And Daniil Medvedev is looking to find a rhythm on the clay court. We'll talk about his goals and what we can expect from the world number three when we return.
We need more step-ups, man.
Yeah, clearly. Step-ups.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to TC Live. Daniil Medvedev, who missed Monte Carlo with COVID, getting set here in Madrid, will play the winner of Herbert and Davidovich Fokina, and has really struggled on this surface. No matter the tournament, it seems like he can't just get out of his own way. At this point, as we look at his record at Madrid, at Rome, at Roland Garros, he is 0-8. That was quick math in the head. I felt good about it as well. And speaking of Daniil, here's what he had to say about setting goals for himself in the upcoming clay court season.
The goal, actually, for all three tournaments, Rome, Roland Garros, and Madrid, is to at least win one match, you know, in each of them, you know, step by step. Of course, when I come to the tournament, the main goal is to win it. But it's tougher on clay than on hard court. So we'll try my best, hope to show some good tennis, because that's the most important. When I show good tennis, I can win some great matches.
So somewhat of an under-deliver, over—actually make it the other way, under-promise, over-deliver type of mentality from Daniil Medvedev. And Andy, probably the right idea for somebody who hasn't really seen any of his own success compared to what he's done on the hard court, which has been staggering.
Yeah, I mean, Jim can't speak to this because he was a genius on clay, but I would get over there and I felt like I could win matches, but it was such an equalizer, right? If someone got their teeth into a match, I couldn't get myself out of positions. My backhand would go too flat. I couldn't create space with it. So I certainly understand that the movement wasn't the same. I was a decent mover on hard, a terrible mover on clay. So I certainly get it. It's just not a natural feeling for someone who isn't comfortable on the surface. And for me, I always was kind of, I'd show up to Roland Garros and I'd be seated number two or number three. And I was a little embarrassed about it, you know? So there's that liar's game, right? Where I had to try to convince myself that I actually belonged there. Maybe when I didn't, but you get a match in, Madrid has some altitude, maybe you can find some confidence there. Ball travels a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, I like what he's saying. He's not trying to, you know, sell you a bridge or anything. He's telling you, listen, I want to win a match, and then we'll renegotiate from there.
Yeah, I always felt that way going to the grass, Andy. I felt like no matter what I was expected to do in a tournament, I always expected to do less. Always. And almost always did, too. Had that going for me.
Fair enough. So we look at Daniil Medvedev, and now if he can have any sort of success on clay, the ranking points are right there. He has a path to number one. Do you think that he can get there, especially if he does find even a little sort of rhythm?
Look, it's all upside for him. If he just adds a few points here, if he gets to, let's say he needs to get about 2,300 points. Well, there's 1,000 available this week and next week, and then 2,000 at Roland Garros. And then you have the grass court season where he would be considered one of the favorites, and he has room to add to his points there. It's not inconceivable that he can get there. I mean, by Wimbledon, if he had a hot run here, made a semifinal somewhere, a quarterfinal somewhere, and then won Wimbledon, I think he'd have it'd be pretty hard for him not to be number one. So we'll see. It's a long way to go, but as long as he kind of keeps his expectations low on the clay, you know, find some upside and then let it rip from there.
So that's got to be the key, right, Andy? Even with that number one ranking, even somewhat in striking distance, it's micro goals at this point on this surface.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about it. I don't think that makes it real in his mind yet. I'm sure a guy named Rafa has something to say about it. Novak doesn't get the credit for being one of the all-time greats on the grass court surface. So he's certainly got his work ahead of him. But it is nice to kind of think in the back of your head, man, the math could work. I just need to figure things out a little bit. But I don't see him making much of a run here at the clay court season. That 0-8 in the major clay court events is not a great stat. But, you know, get yourself ready. Make sure you're in shape. Get ready for that grass court season. There's no reason with his serve and the way his backhand penetrates the court why he can't make a serious run at Wimbledon. And we all know what he is on hard courts.
Well, let's look at what his path would be here in Madrid specifically. Jim, As mentioned, he takes the winner of Davidovich Fokina and Herbert, and then potentially Garin, who we just saw look pretty strong on the surface.
Yeah, look, I mean, he could have had worse draws for sure, but it's not going to be easy at all because, you know, either Fokina or Herbert is going to have a win under their belt. They'll have some momentum. And Garin looked pretty good today. And he may not get through Kupfer, but he's a pretty rough customer on this surface. It's his favorite surface. Berrettini, Fognini, Delbonis, Fritz. There are some challenges here. But and for him, how's his health? Mm. I mean, Monte Carlo, he had to pull out on the eve of the tournament because he tested positive for COVID. That's 3 weeks ago. Hopefully he's feeling full of gas. But, you know, that might be a little bit difficult for him if he's not full of energy. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of this is truly unknown with COVID-19, and athletes from across different sports are reacting in different ways. So we'll see if Daniil Medvedev can live up to his own expectations, which are not super lofty for this tournament. We will see him in just a few days. John Isner, Riley Opelka, both in action. Can the big serve get it done in altitude? Come back and find out on Tennis Channel. Marcos Giron, the American, looking for just his second clay court win.
This isn't the first set tiebreaker. The score clock says an hour and 27 minutes. It was an hour and a half before the first set ended. That was amazing. And then Giron, who got medical treatment at the end of that first set, found a gear late in the second set, wins that point with a screaming forehand, would send it to a third, and it would have break point here at 5-all. The forehand from Pablo Andujar, the 35-year-old Spanish veteran, failed him. And Giron, in trouble on his serve at 15-30, found his way out with some finesse. The UCLA Bruin, the NCAA champion, is back after two hip surgeries. He has found his way into the top 100. And with this win, will move from number 91 up to 83 in the world and earns himself a chance to play Dominic Thiem tomorrow. Here's your reward after 3.5 hours of battle with Andujar.
Oh, that's exactly what you want to hear. Yeah, you got Dominic Thiem in the next round tomorrow, a little over 24 hours away. But Andy, battle of the qualifiers, Giron gets through, and as mentioned, just his second clay court win of his career. That's got to be a good confidence boost for the 27-year-old.
Yeah, I think so, and he's going to need it going into tomorrow. We'll see what his legs are like. But, you know, winning those tough matches, getting into the, especially against someone like Andujar, who's completely at home on the clay, grinding through that will do wonders. Maybe not tomorrow against Thiem, you know, who knows, but, you know, he hadn't been playing much either, so you never know. But moving forward throughout the year, knowing you can grind out those tough matches, especially when losing the first set, right? That's a mental battle more so than winning the first set and kind of staying around. Impressive win today for Giron.
Well, Andy, let's move on to somebody whose game you're very familiar with. That is John Isner, looking for his 12th Madrid win of his career, taking on Miomir Kecmanovic, and the serve was glorious as ever.
Yeah, and the thing is if you give John, if you give Isner time from the baseline, he gets a whole lot better. You know, the common misconception with, you know, every Joe at Starbucks when they're analyzing Isner is that with that serve, he must be great on fast surfaces. Not necessarily the case. He likes time to set up, and that serve can go through any surface. So I thought John actually looked great in Miami. Seems like the form has carried over early on here. You know, he's the guy, the more matches he gets, the better he plays. He's kind of like a diesel engine, a little slow to get going, but when he gets going, he's not going to break down on you. So, and shots like this, where it's so much harder against someone like Isner when you don't know you're not going to break, and he shanks one on the service line, and all of a sudden you miss, and you're like, what just happened? This match is over. I hit like four balls today, but good tennis from John Isner. With this altitude, not a bad service for him. He could do some damage here.
Today, 28 aces.
Okay, I did not know that.
That's a massive number over a set. Mm-hmm. Certainly going to be one of the pillars for you here in Madrid with the altitude.
For sure. I don't think I can find a better place as far as serving conditions go, on tour than here in Madrid, especially on that court that I played, that Arancha Sanchez Vicario court and court number 3. They're kind of semi-covered. It's got a nice little sound to it. Yep. As you mentioned, the altitude helps my serve a lot, and the ball just gets up really high. I hit a couple second serves that literally bounced over the backstop.
So Isner with those 28 aces. We'll move over to another big serving American, Andy. Riley Opelka taking on the former Tulane standout, Dominic Kupfer. And Opelka struggled in this one.
Yeah, I mean, you liked it where that backhand went in that first highlight there. But just like this, look at the movement here, the split step. He kind of slips out a little bit. Not real comfortable on the surface. Coming in, you know, you kind of have to commit a little bit more. This is something you do not want to see with Riley Opelka. That big body has had some injury problems. Not sure. Hopefully it's not too bad. But you know, it just kind of really struggling with the movement, not looking super convincing in anything he's doing. Missing balls like this, it just does nothing for confidence. And there were some sloppy errors, including here on match point as well. Not a great performance by Rally Opelka. Hopefully he's able to regroup for the next events.
I always love the height differential at net, because that would be me. I'd be the little guy who's standing over there. Let's go to the social net real quick. This is from almost two decades ago now. Battle of the Surfaces. This almost looks like, Jim, my printer ran out of ink. You have green on one side, red clay on the other. I love it.
Yep, this was Federer Nadal in Spain. Obviously a very well-attended event. The half clay, half grass, nice novelty. Hearing rumors via British press that there may be another exhibition with Federer and Nadal in Spain coming up. And it could be in Madrid as well, but not at the Caja Mágica. Mm. The Real Madrid football stadium, which has 81,000 people, they've just redone it, and they're talking about reopening it with an exhibition between those two, which would break the current record for the most attended match in tennis, which is, bada boom, Federer and Nadal. That was in back in Cape Town just before the pandemic hit. So hoping we get to see that one. It's sweet to see these guys doing it again.
Andy, you don't have to break any news, but I do enjoy the double surface action here with the green and the red.
Yeah, that looks like a stressful situation. You got to change your shoes each time you switch sides so you don't break anything. But to kind of tag along with Jim's point, you want to see events like this rumored event in Spain. You know, even the most hardcore Rafa Nadal fans want to appreciate Roger. They want to give him that round of applause. They want to see these guys again. You know, they followed both of their careers. They're so interconnected. You can't celebrate one without celebrating the other. So that would be really great to see.
Another great day of tennis ahead on Tuesday, and we look forward to more potential exhibitions between two of the greatest of all time. Tennis Challenge coverage starts at 5 a.m. Eastern. RSN coverage, regional sports coverage, 8 a.m. Eastern. TC Live once again at 5 p.m. and Encore coverage to follow. More TC Live is coming up next.
To pick up his momentum on the clay season. Hasn't had a great one so far. Tony Nadal in his corner. I know he's expecting big things, but Casper's on a tear. So a tough one to choose. Might have to lean towards Casper Ruud.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot again, because Jessie Pegula sat right here on the DraftKings desk. You talked to her about her upcoming match against Aryna Sabalenka to advance to the quarterfinals. Who's going to win that one?
Well, she had a rough one against Sabalenka the last time they played, but I think Pegula's in a really good headspace. I sort of love the vibes that she's rocking with right now, so I think she's going to feel nice and relaxed and go out and play a heck of a match.
I think we're going to have all types of fun vibes over here tomorrow, Noah.
All right, Denny. Well, apparently Casper Ruud is the new kid on the block, and he's got the right stuff as he continues in Madrid. No Eagle Jim Courier and Andy Roddick has mentioned it. Let's go to our hot shot of the day. This one was a pretty good one early in the match between Lloyd Harris and Grigor Dimitrov, a breakpoint opportunity for the fantastic hair of Lloyd Harris.
You know, it's a hot shot. It has to be Dimitrov who hits it. What? Where did this come from? From Lloyd Harris. Just a bolt, just an extra stride to it, and he finds the line. That was brilliant from the South African. And he'd go on to win a tight one, 7-6 and a third in this one. But this is worth putting on repeat. This is spectacular.
Andy, it's got to be the sleeves, right? It allows him to whip the arm.
Lloyd! Samsonite. I was way off. It was a great shot. Maybe not full of strings, but at a break point makes the shot even better. And he got the win, which is the most important thing. He'll sleep well tonight.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes.
And there most certainly was for the man with the headband and the flowing hair. That'll about do it for us here on TC Live. Another great day in the books. We've got coverage throughout the week from Madrid, and we appreciate all of you coming along for the ride. For Jim, for Andy, for our entire Tennis Channel crew, No Eagle saying so long. We'll talk to you next time. Black box.